champ ready. So when the champ is ready, we got to get started. Let's welcome in WBC super middleweight champ David Benavidez. David, you there?
Yeah, how's it going?
Right on. Hey, man, so glad to have you on. I know that in this here COVID streets, everybody's schedule is a little bit strange, but I understand you just coming from the gym. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm actually sitting outside the gym right now. I got started like at 1:30, so I barely finished my workout before logging into this right now. So, you know, it's just a regular day.
Yeah, I appreciate that. What did you work on today?
Just a whole lot of, you know, boxing stuff, you know, maybe like a little bit of head movement, some jabs, body shots, you know, just the regular stuff we've been working on for months.
I see you in your car. What kind of whip you got?
I got a Mercedes.
Ah, you got that upgrade.
Yeah, I had to get. You win the world title, you got to upgrade a little bit.
What was your first car?
Well, my first car, it was a BMW, a 3 Series. It was a little one. I got it when I was like 17 years old, and so I was very excited when I got that. But this one, I got the AMG. This is the big boy Mercedes. So
I'm
very happy about this one.
You got the heated seats for your biscuits.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got enough room back there, because I know you're expecting. Well, you're not expecting, but you will be a father soon, correct?
Yeah, no, but I have an SUV at home, too, so I'm already prepared for the baby. I got the car seat, you know, so I got that prepared. This is my personal car for when I want to drive for myself. But when I have my family with me, I got the SUV at home.
Daddy's toy. When's the baby due?
On September 5th.
September?
Yeah, September 5th. Yeah, so it's going to be, you know, I'm very excited as well because I fight in August 15th, somewhere like that, August 15th or August 20th, and my baby's gonna be born like 2 weeks later, you know, so everything's falling, you know, in place really perfect. So I'm, you know, I'm very excited.
Now, did I read correctly, you're having a boy?
Yeah, I'm having a boy, little baby boy.
Well, congratulations, man. That's that feeling of being a first time parent is something that you never get again because it's the first one. What are you looking forward to the most?
To be honest, just teaching them, you know, how to be a good kid, you know, giving them, I really want to give them a proper education. I want them to be very educated and finish high school and go to college, you know, and if he wants to do boxing, you know, that's an option as well. But since, you know, I didn't graduate high school, you know, I dropped out twice. So I kind of want him to finish high school and have that, you know, that whole high school experience and the college experience, you know, it's something I missed out on. So, you know, I kind of want him to have that, you know, but if he wants to follow my footsteps and be a boxer, then, you know, I'm all for it. You know, I'm all for whatever he wants.
So you don't have, because it is the family business. You know, your brother, yeah. Jose is a welterweight. Your father is your trainer. So you can definitely, there's plenty of support for your son should you want to go in the family business. But what you learn outside of boxing that you feel like lessons that you can impart?
You know, it's just, honestly, boxing has been my whole life since I was a little kid. I started boxing when I was 3 years old. I'm 23 right now, so I have 20 years boxing. So I've been in this my whole life. But the thing about boxing that has taught me is that, you know, with hard work and dedication, you can accomplish anything. There's no dream that's big enough that you can't accomplish. All you have to do is work hard and, you know, give your all to whatever you want to do and you could accomplish anything. You know, I feel very, very fortunate right now that I could take care of my family, you know, not just my brothers and my sisters. I could take care of my dad, my mom, my aunts, my uncles, everybody. You know, boxing has put me in position, you know, to take care of everybody and, you know, be whatever I want to be in life, you know.
You know, so you didn't always have the easiest path to becoming champion. You had some challenges along the way. What did you learn about kind of the times that were most difficult for you and the mistakes that you made that you've applied to your boxing?
You know, the things I've learned about is, you know, tough times don't last, but tough people do. You know what I mean? You just have to keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. You can never give up on yourself. You know, until we're down in the grave, until we're in the grave, man, you know, that's the only way we can't do nothing. But, you know, you just got to keep pushing, keep pushing. I feel like once you give up on yourself mentally, that's when you lose everything and, you know, stuff starts happening to you. But if you have a strong mentality, you could prevail against anything.
You're just 23, correct, David?
Yes.
So you're still a young man. I mean, I think I got some pants that might be older than you are. No, I know. But you could also be having the time of your life. Do you feel like you're missing out on anything? It's summertime.
Not at all. You know, I'm 23 years old. I bought my first house in 22. You know, I'm about to pay it off after my next fight. You know, I've been in position financially, you know, that I could do things that I've never dreamed about. You know what I mean? So I feel like I have, when it's time to celebrate, I celebrate. You know, I take trips every time, you know, after my fights. You know, I've gone to some beautiful places. You know, I've given my mom, I've given my father a lot of things, you know, I've given them a lot of money. So that's, like I said, boxing has put me in the position to do things I've never imagined of doing. You know what I mean? So I don't feel like I'm missing out at all. I missed out on having a childhood, but it benefited me a lot. You know what I mean? Because I know people, I have friends, I have cousins that they had the best childhood and, you know, they've had, you know, so much memories, you know, high school and all that, but you know, they didn't really go on to, you know, proceed a career or do anything else after, you know. So I feel like I gave up my childhood, but for a right reason.
So let's I want to put a pin in that for a second, because I want to talk about the boxing, but it sounds like we might have Ramblin' Ralph Velez in the back here. Do we have Ralph on? Bring him out.
Hey guys, sorry.
Hey, that's all right. We have three different
what's
states.
Going on, guys?
We're gonna keep. Good. David was just telling us that, you know, he might not have had the picture perfect childhood and adolescence, but he's grateful for all the lessons that he's learned. So I want to get into a little bit of the boxing now. Everything is upside down. What's new is old. What's old is new. What's left is right now because of the global pandemic. What has slowed down for you? What have been the biggest obstacles for you over the past couple of months?
Well, you know what's really slowed me down is, you know, everything happened. I was supposed to fight in April, and that didn't happen. My fight got pushed back. So, you know, now I haven't. When I fight in August, it's gonna be almost 11 months since my last fight. My fight in September. You know what I mean?
Did you have a full camp?
Huh?
Did you have a full camp for that fight?
Yeah, I had a full camp, but the fight had canceled like 3 weeks before the fight. So, you know, I was already ready to fight, basically. I think Ralph was there. I was going 12 rounds sparring, so I was extremely ready.
Then
it was like 4 weeks before it, the fight got canceled. So we were really bummed out. And it's not just that. It's that, you know, I'm almost been out of the ring for about a year. You know what I mean? Right. So, I mean, I got pushed back a little bit. So I just been eager to get into the ring. Nothing has really changed for me. You know, I've been training. I've been doing all that. The only thing that's changed for me is that I haven't been able to fight. You know, I haven't fought in a while. But, you know, I've been doing everything the same. You know, I stay home. I don't really go out. I just stay home, come to the gym. And that's the whole time. That's the only thing I've been doing since this whole pandemic has been going on. But it's you know, it's a scary thing now, because every time I go out, you know, I have to have the hand sanitizer in the car. I have to have the mask in there because – you know, it's I don't want to get, you know, that the COVID-19 is a serious thing. You know what I mean? So it's just, I think it's a lot more fear than I've been used to. You know, now I don't even want to leave my house most of the time. After I'm done with the gym, I just go back home and I don't even want to step out of the house.
You're in Seattle?
Yeah, Seattle, Washington.
To Seattle. You've been watching the fights? You've been watching the top ranked cards on Tuesday, Thursdays?
Yeah, I just seen the fight. The Gabriel fight, yeah, he fought yesterday, right? There was one yesterday. Yeah, I've been keeping a good eye on them. Yeah, there have been some good shows that have been put on.
So you feel like you're getting prepared to kind of go into these bubbles? You know, Top Rank is ironing out some kinks. I know that they've had, you know, Michaela Mayer had the false positive, I guess, and then we had the trainer test positive yesterday. Are you getting any information kind of from your fellow fighters or anybody else who's going through the experience to prepare you for the next fight?
Not really. I really don't talk to any other boxers that fought yet. I think the thing that I'm just trying to prepare for most is, you know, fighting without the crowd. You know, I'm sorry. It's because, you know, a lot of fighters, like including myself, we feed off the energy from the crowd. You know what I mean? So it's going to be a little different, but I feel like I'll be a little bit more focused, you know, because there won't be as much emotions going into it, you know, for the fans, you know, making mistakes, trying to make the fans happy, you know, giving them a good show, because at the end of the day, they pay to see the show. And we're performers. We have to give them a good show. So I think I'll be a little bit more focused since there's no crowd. But it's still, I'm still going to be bummed out because none of my family could go. You know, when I fight, you know, a lot of my family go, a lot of my friends go. You know, I have family and friends everywhere in the United States, you know what I mean? So I'm not really going to be able to see them, and that's kind of, it bums me out. But, you know, it is what it is. We have to do what we have to do.
Ralph, we got you.
Yeah, one thing I want to say, too, about this young man is that I've had a chance to grow up with him at one point. David, I know they've told the story a million times, but, you know, David was up where like mid-200s as far as his weight, but he wanted to fight. And I have never seen anybody so determined and hungry, maybe other than a Floyd Mayweather when he gets in the gym. I mean, David works out like he works out like an Olympic athlete. And it's crazy because, you know, you see him and you're even tired just staring at him. When I went up to Seattle to see these guys in their new gym, it's like, my goodness, you know, how can he sustain this every single day during the camp? But then, you know, you see him working on his speed, getting faster, working on things with his father. And the family is just it's an unbelievable story. You know, the father, Jose Sr., self-trained, learned from anything he can get his hands on, from videos to watching in the wild card gym where they were they first were training with David's older brother, and he took all that and basically made it his own style. So their training methods are like their own method. It's not from anywhere else, or doesn't belong to another coach. It's like their own training, and it shows. I mean, tell me another father who has two children that become world champions, you know, and right back to back, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Jose Jr. Had the belt. And I just think it's amazing. But the one thing that stood out for me, and David, I'm going to go ahead and spoil this because we talked personally about this, is that sometimes at that age, they're out there buying their Bugattis and their Lamborghinis and 12 chains. And, you know, David's already been looking at getting like houses, and he's been looking at getting things that will, basically, when he's done boxing, he'll still be able to profit off of rental income, off of properties. You know, he's already looking at a third property out in that area, and that's the best area in the nation for real estate because I'm in real estate. So he's in a perfect area for it, and it just amazed me that he's able to speak to me at that level at such a young age with really nobody saying, hey, man, you need to sit down and look at this. Like, it's on his own. You know, he's going to have a family pretty soon, and he's already thinking ahead of time, like, okay, I want to be prepared so he doesn't have to fight until he's 37 years old. So to me, it's just really amazing, and I've enjoyed growing up with him in the gyms. They got me in shape. I used to train with these guys, and we would go to this mountain here in South Phoenix called Top Mountain, and they would be like, all right, man, you need to keep up, and fuck it, like, not even a half a mile, these guys would be gone, and I would be way in the back, and I'd still be going up, and they would be coming down. I mean, just tremendous work ethic, the whole family, and I'm just very happy for David.
You know, you mentioned that you had gone through a full camp. You were ready to fight in April. Are we going to see you again in August? Is that correct? And then who is actually, because there's been a bunch of names lined up. So
it's going to be sometime in August. I don't really have the exact date yet, but I'll, you know, as soon as I get that information, I'll put it out on my Instagram and I'll give everybody the news. But it's going to be against the same guy, Romer Angulo. Is because the reason I'm fighting him is because I was supposed to fight the number one contender at 168, and that guy got injured. So last minute, this guy stepped in. You know, he's a pretty solid fighter. I think he's 25-1 with 22 knockouts, something like that. So he's a heavy hitter. He's just coming off a win off Anthony Sims. So, you know, we signed the contract with him before the fight got canceled. We signed the contract, you know, so, you know, he's the only one who stepped up at a time where I have no opponent. So, you know, as a fair man, I'm giving up another opportunity as well. So, you know, this is going to be a great fight. I know he's hungry. He's fought for the world title once before. He has a great record. So, you know, I'm not taking this lightly. I don't take anybody lightly. I feel like I'm at the moment now where every fighter is hungry. They know they could, this win could change their lives. So they're going to be coming in extremely hungry. So, you know, that's just what motivates me too, because when I fight a fighter that caliber, that's that ready, you know, that just brings the best out of me. So, you know, that's the guy I'm going to fight. So I'm looking forward to, you know, this guy's a brawler, you know, I'm a brawler. So it's going to be fireworks all night long.
That fight comes after you beat Anthony Durrell. Anthony Doral is known. He is a veteran. What, as a result of that fight, did you learn anything about yourself? Because you were, I mean, you're still young. I mean, you were the young Thundercat coming. Do you feel like people underestimated you going into that fight?
I mean, people always underestimate me since I've been a little kid, since I turned pro. People, I wasn't, you know, if you ask anybody from back then, nobody said I was going to be a world champion, especially at 20 years old, 22 years old, had two WBC world titles. So I've always been underestimated. Everybody says that I'm going to get exposed, you know, all the next fights going to get exposed, but it doesn't happen because I train harder than anybody. I come ready. I stay prepared, you know, and I got that fight in me. I got that will and that determination. And the thing I learned about Anthony Doral, he had never been stopped before. I was the only one who stopped him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? All that pressure. You know, I think at the second half of the fight, that's where I come alive, and that's where the best comes out of me. You know, I stopped a guy that has 15 years experience, professional. He has never been stopped. He's fought Badu Jack. He's fought the best of them, and I stopped him. You know what I mean? So that speaks a lot on its own. You know, and then people still try to say I got exposed, you know, whatever. They can say whatever they want. At the end of the day, I'm still going to be the champion, you know, no matter who it is, who I fight. I'm still going to be the champion, and I will be the last man standing.
You talk about the pressure that you're known for, and there's another name in the division that I've got to bring up, and that's Caleb Plant. Caleb is known for being a counterpuncher and known for being able to come alive more in those later rounds, similar to you. If you two were to meet, how do you see your pressure matching up with his counterpunching?
You know, I could sit here and, you know, all day long say, you know, I've been talking about this all day long. I just feel like, you know, I'll say something, then he'll go and say something else. I feel like my pressure at the end of the day, I'm a bigger guy and I belong. I'm a true 168 pounder. He's not. You know, he can fight at 160, 154 if he really wanted to. So I feel like my pressure would break him down. He's never fought somebody with pressure like me. He's never fought somebody with a jab like me or that works the body like me. You know what I mean? So I feel like, the only thing I can say is it's going to be a great fight. I'm not taking nothing away from him. He's a great fighter. And these are the type of fighters I want to beat. Because at the end of the day, I don't get nothing out of beating a guy that everybody knows I'm going to beat. You know, I get the respect I deserve when I beat a guy where people actually think he could beat me. So it's just going to be a great fight. And I know for a fact he won't beat me. You know what I mean?
Do you feel like he's disrespecting you now? Do you feel like Caleb is respecting you as a fighter?
Is he respecting me or disrespecting me?
Yeah, well, either. Like, do you feel like he respects you?
I really don't care what he thinks. I don't think he does. I mean, he thinks, like I said, I seen like a ridiculous post the other day. He says that he runs a 168-pound division. I'm like, come on, guy. You fought freaking Feigen Boots and Mike Lee, and now you run the super middleweight division. Like, calm down. He's 28 years old. And the best name on his resume is freaking Uzkateki. Well, I stopped Uzkateki twice in Big Bear in 3 rounds. You know what I mean? So I think he's getting a little bit ahead of himself. You know, I really don't. You know, it's a lot of bad blood. I don't respect him. He don't respect me, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, once I knock him out, he's going to have no choice but to respect me.
Do you feel that the way your father has been there with you and your brother and the way that he came up, you guys are very humble. CC, I'm gonna go back even like 5-6 years ago. They opened a gym in downtown Phoenix, and anybody that wanted to go in there and train next to these guys, they let them. Even to this day in Seattle, where their gym is at, if you walk in the gym, it's not a hey, you can't come in, hey, you can't even be in here. I mean, they let kids come in there, train next to these guys. Do you feel that has helped you to be welcomed? Because, David, you caught fire immediately, and everyone that's out there that knows boxing, they love you very much. They love your style. And do you take the way your father has been with you guys as part of that, or do you basically say, you know what, this is the way I feel in my heart that I'm a people's champion, and I'm just going to love everybody? Because, dude, when you go to Vegas, I've been there with you. You get bombarded, bro, and you get upset. You don't get mad. You take pictures, and you do it for an hour or 2 hours on end just to try to make it somewhere, and you don't get upset. Like, was that a teaching from your dad, or is that something that you just, in your heart, you just have naturally?
You know, it's funny you say that, too, because at the gym right here, I mean, I come in, I say what's up to everybody. Even if I don't know anybody, I'll say what's up to everybody. You know, I'll tell everybody hi. And I feel like they get a little, like – they're like a little confused because they think, you know, they think all right. Champions are like, oh, you can't talk to you. I can't say hi to you. But, you know, these are my people here. At the end of the day, they train in my gym. You know, these are my people. I feel like the reason I'm like that is because when I was younger, there was a champion. I forgot who it was. But I tried to say hi to him. I was a little kid, and I seen the champion. I thought, you know, I felt like I had just seen a god. You know what I mean? Because I love boxing since I was a little kid, and, you know, the fucking guy just brushed me off. You know what I mean? That kind of hurt me, you know, because I was such a big fan of boxing, and, you know, I was a little kid, and I kind of, like, kind of broke my heart. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, it made me, like, really sad. And since that day, I told myself, you know, if I see a little kid or say anybody wants to say hi to me, I'm not going to be like that. Because at the end of the day, these people are the ones who support me. They support me when I'm on that platform, you know. So these are my people. Anywhere I go, Texas, Las Vegas, Arizona, you know, I'm not nobody. I'm not a freaking celebrity. I'm not a superstar. I fight for the people. So I'm there with everybody. You know what I mean? And that's just how I've always been. You know, I don't try to look at people like, you know, like they're lower than me or anything like that, because at the end of the day, they're not. I'm just a professional boxer. And that's what I am. I'm not a freaking celebrity. I'm not a superstar. I'm just a professional boxer. And I'm just like everybody else.
We talked about the Canelo situation. And when we had that conversation and we put it out, that went crazy. And everybody started talking about that. And now, like, it's a pretty big situation. Is that the dream fight for you? Is that the end all be all, is to conquer him and to be like, okay, I'm the king at 168? And do you feel like the fights that you've had, the last couple of fights at 168, maybe has been a little difficult for you to get to? And will you think about ever moving up a weight class?
Well, of course, that's the fight I want. You know, I feel like I really don't understand people, man. Like, they get mad because I could beat Canelo or something. Like, I'm not gonna freaking bow down to nobody. I don't even want to think, oh yeah, this is the best. You know, he can never be beat. I'm not gonna say it about nobody. You know what I mean? If they're in my weight division, and I train as hard as I train, in my heart, I feel like I could beat anybody. You know what I mean? And I'm gonna train until somebody proves me wrong. You know, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna give him my best at the end of the day. And if I don't succeed, I don't succeed. But I know in my heart that I train my hardest, you know, to get that victory. So, I mean, if Canelo's in my weight class and there's an opportunity to fight him, of course, I'm going to train like if I could beat him. I'm not going to go in there and think, oh, this guy can't be beat. Because if you walk into a fight like that mentally, you're already broken. So you're not going to succeed anyways. You know what I mean? So me, I want to go down in the history books as the best super middleweight, you know, as the top 10 best super middleweight there ever was. You know what I mean? So I know I got to work hard. And to get that spot, I got to beat the best fighter that there is today, and that's Canelo. You know what I mean? So that's – I'm always going to shoot for the moon. I'm always going to shoot for the stars, and that's how it's going to be at the end of the day. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. At the end of the day, he could get hurt just like me. You know, he could get beat. You know, he's been beat already. So, I mean, there's already a strategy to beat him. I mean, I just got to be at the top of my game. It won't be easy, but it can be done.
You feel like there's a difference?
What did you say?
No, I said, I told you, CC, the man is he's on point. I told you.
As clear as that, do you feel like there's a difference between being great and being the greatest?
You know, what gets me through my days is I'm just trying to be the best I could be today and just keep improving there. You know, it's hard, you know, to be like, oh, I'm going to be the greatest. Because there's a lot of, you know, you got to fill some big shoes. So you can't just be like, oh, I'm going to be the greatest. Every day, it's little by little. You know what I mean? Be like, I'm going to be the best I can be today. We're going to push a little bit more today. We're going to keep pushing. And then, you know, and then that's how you improve. You know, you can't just step out and say, oh, I'm just going to be the greatest and everybody's going to believe you. You just got to, you know, inch by inch, day by day, you got to be the best you could be every day. And, you know, that's how you become the greatest, in my opinion.
We mentioned that you come from a fighting family. Of course, your brother Jose is a welterweight former champion. We going to see him again soon? How's his knee? What's he looking like?
Yeah, he's doing good. He's training too. He's probably going to come a little bit later. It's just right now, you know, he just had his daughter. You know, I feel like it's his first daughter. So he's just like, he's enjoying his time with her. You know, and she comes around all the time. She looks like a little Cabbage Patch doll.
Yeah.
Right, you know, yeah, she does.
Yeah, she's anyway, so pretty, man. So,
and he's, you know, we've been boxing our whole life. So this is something he's never experienced. And I'm about to soon experience that too. So I can't even tell you how he feels. You know, he just looks very happy. You know, he's enjoying his time with his daughter right now. But I feel like he wants to come back soon. I mean, he's working hard. He has another motive to, you know, to work as hard as he can now. So, I mean, right now, I think he's just enjoying his time with his daughter, but he'll probably be back soon.
So your pops has a granddaughter and about to have a grandson. You think that's going to calm him down a little bit? Because your pops is known to have some fireworks. Like, is that little girl kind of mellowing him out?
Maybe, yeah. When you see him with my niece, you know, I've seen something in him I've never seen before. Like, he's just like super loving and caring. I'm like, man, where was that freaking love at when we were little in the gym? Oh, now you're a sweetheart now, huh? But he looks very happy too. You know, I mean, I feel like it's just changing all of our lives. It's just changing his life too. You know, it's his first time being a grandfather, so it's. We're all stepping in, different chapters in our lives. You know what I mean? So, I feel like it's just been a beautiful ride. You know what I mean? With the boxing, starting boxing, then winning the world title, you know, then being on top, then having kids. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. It's just a beautiful thing. I guess it's just how life goes. You know, we just got to appreciate every moment.
For me, they asked me what my greatest event was in my career. And I got to announce David's first title fight, and it was actually not by accident, but Jimmy Lennon had already had a date that was already secured. And when Jimmy Lennon was going to be in Europe, I got the call. And it's crazy how two people from almost 3 or 4 miles away from each other, growing up with each other, I got to announce a fight. That was my first WBC title fight. That was David's first WBC title fight. And that probably will be number one for me forever, only because of the fact that he's like my little brother, man. So yeah, I'm very happy. Go ahead. Sorry, David.
It was a very special moment, man. Just being in that ring, not only just fighting for world title, winning the world title, and Ralph announcing it. I mean, it was just something very special. You know what I mean? I've known Ralph since I was a little kid. You know, I've seen him at the gym all the time. So just being there at that same, that same moment, it was very special. You know what I mean? Not too much people from Phoenix, you know, make it out Phoenix, because Phoenix is not really a good place, you know, as you know. So somebody to make it out of Phoenix, you know, and just being in that moment together, you know, as him being one of my good friends, it was very special.
I appreciate that. Real quick, CeCe, before I'll give you the last question, I have one more thing to say to David real quick, though. The other day when you were on the WBC Talks streamcast, I happened to get in real quick, and I caught when Mauricio Suleiman stopped the broadcast and commended you for what you've been able to do to fix whatever growing up pains that we all go through as an adult and as we're learning how to become men. How did that feel, man, to have someone like that to praise you and say, you know what? We made him do all kinds of shit. We put him through all kinds of protocols, the testing, clean program. And David is acing it, A pluses all the way. How'd that make you feel? That's pretty cool. That was pretty dope, man.
It was very special, man, just because this guy has been around the best of the best. You know, he's been around freaking Julio Cesar Chavez. His dad's been around Marvin Hagler, Ray Leonard, all these greats, man. So for him to tell me something like that, you know, it made me realize too that, you know, I'm just in a whole different level right now, you know, and I just, you know, I did the things I did were, you know, back mistakes I made, but now that I've got my act together, that people, this is important, you know, they're supporting me, you know, it really means a lot to me. And it just, you know, I don't want to disappoint anybody anymore. And just for them people that have that much, you know, that much belief in me, you know, it really means a lot to me and my family. So it was a really nice moment too.
You said, I don't want to disappoint anybody anymore. I think that you're on your way to having great things happen for you. You've worked hard to get the championship. Is it harder to work to get the first one, or do you feel like you got to put in more work to keep it?
It's the same. I think now that it's a little bit harder just to keep the championship, because you can't slip up. You know, every camp has to be as hard as the first one was to get the belt. You know, because these people, you know, whoever you fight against, that might be their first time fighting for the world title. And they're going to train their ass off. You know what I mean? So that's why I like that my dad put us through all these training camps, because we've trained. I've trained like this since I was 15 years old. So this is what I know, you know, 3-4 times a day. You know, total of six and a half hours training a day. This is
three
my life.
Times a day. Hell yeah.
This is my life.
Three, you know, when he says 3 or 4 times a day, he's not lying. 3 or 4 times a day. ridiculous workouts he's doing.
So my regimen, you know, by the time I'm done training, like, I kid you not, the hours I have training a day are 6.5 hours. And that's how much I trained. And not all together, you know, three, you know, two, and then two and another 1.5. So, you know, it's not easy, but I feel like this is my routine now, and this is what my body's used to. So it's you know, I feel like that's the key right there, just to maintaining and just to maintain that world title. You know, I already have the work ethic down. It's just keeping it going. You know what I mean? Because now it doesn't even matter who I fight. I know I'm going to be extremely prepared for whoever I fight. You know, so it don't even matter. It's just that I just got to keep it. I got to keep it going. I can't train. I got to train as hard as I did when I was 15 years old. You know what I mean? So it's just, and that's how, at the end of the day, I want to be the best of the best. So nothing's going to change. This is what I love to do. You know, I don't even feel like it's training. When I'm in the gym, you know, I'm just learning. This is what I love to do. I love to be in the gym, and I love to run. I love to train and conditioning. So nothing's going to change, you know, until I'm 30 years old and I retire. And so I hang up my gloves, and that's when I relax. But right now, this is my job. You know, I didn't graduate high school. I didn't go to college. I had nothing else in my life besides this, you know, my family. So this is what it's going to be.
David, we appreciate your time. Can't wait to see you come August. We just got a couple of more months to go. Hey, want to wish you a happy Father's Day.
So happy for you, man. I forgot.
Well, make sure you get you a steak come Sunday, because you get one too.
So happy for you, man. I'm so happy for you. You take care, bro. We'll see you very soon. Okay.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate your time, man. Both of you guys, and, you know, thank you so much for bringing me on here. It was a great interview, and thank you so much again. I hope you guys have
absolutely, Dave. Love you, bro. See you later, man. Be cool.
Take care. Bye.